UCB Ireland, serving the church, reaching the nation.
Joining me in the studio right now are Tammy and Jay, met for the first time in Nashville about 2 months ago.
Yes.
How are you guys? It's good to have you.
We're grand. We're so happy to see you again. Terrific. You're like an old friend now.
What, that old?
Oh, sorry. Long-term friend.
Yeah, that's
there
better.
We go.
That's
long-term.
Let's use the right terminology here, you know.
Sorry.
Oh, friend. It is great to see you. Thank you for coming in. Now, when we met in Nashville, I remember you saying to us, oh, we're going to be in Dublin. And I thought, that's going to be great. And then suddenly it's here. The time is here that you joined us. Mm-hmm. Before we get into why you are here, tell us a little bit about yourself, first of all, Tammy.
Okay. Well, I'm only 4'11", so those of you listening, I'm down low, close to the ground.
And member of the Little Ladies
I have never
Club.
Said that on air before. Let's see. We have been in ministry together 16 years. We're a blended family marriage, and we'll talk more about what we do with that in a moment. But back in 2003, I had actually gone through a divorce in 2000, and I was looking for hope and help on how to co-parent and raise my daughter in a wonderful, healthy way to let her love her dad. And so that journey is where I ultimately ended up starting an organization. As I was starting to tell you, I used to be an event producer in the music industry, worked in Christian radio and Christian music for a couple decades in Nashville, and worked for some wonderful record companies, and just thought I'd produce events for all of my life. And so I decided eventually to start producing events for divorced parents.
Okay.
And that's ultimately where the beginning of what we do now around the world has led us, and just wanting to bring hope to parents that are hurting, who've gone through divorce, who maybe are separated, and many parents even that have never married, but they're co-parenting with their other parent in two different houses. Mm. And how do we do that in a healthy way? And that's for children who are raised in divided families. Sometimes it's very, very difficult to navigate those dynamics emotionally and relationally. So I grew up in a divided home. My parents are both still living, and I look back, and you know, I'm 56, so 55 years ago there weren't many resources to help parents, and so they did the best they could, and they both definitely loved me and tried to work together best they could. But I knew what it was like to be in a kid, you know, what it was like to be a kid in that scenario, and wanted to do some things differently, carry some good things forward, but then adjust some things. And so anyway, so now this is what we do all over the world, is we help bring hope to complex families. And we always tell folks we are 100% committed to lifelong marriage and helping couples who desire that to follow that path, get support and help for their family. But when they do divide and end up in two homes, we want to be there to help them continue to walk with God and to raise their children in a way that points them to Christ and points them to the hope of marriage. Mm-hmm. Because so many young people, even in traditional families, unfortunately, many young people that are growing into adulthood now have decided that marriage doesn't matter, or that they don't want that kind of marriage that they saw growing up in their family. And we're here to try to champion that vision that children, even in divided families, those children can have the hope that God's plan is for lifelong marriage and God has a plan for them.
You know, just talking about how interesting it is to be self-employed for such a long time and to work with a spouse close at hand, doing a lot of the same things, going a lot of the same places, you know, and trying to make all of that work. And it's been a blessing all the time.
Mm-hmm. You have to be very wise as well.
Sure.
Careful.
Because your relationship out-trumps your job. It has to.
Absolutely.
Right.
Your husband and wife relationship, I'm the same. Myself and my wife work together. We run this ministry of UCB Ireland together. Mm-hmm. But unless we actually find time when we're not doing UCB stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, we are blessed. We live fairly close to the sea, and we'll get a coffee and we'll drive out and we'll park by the sea and we'll just drink a cup and we'll talk about anything. Now, sometimes it might flow that you think, oh, that's a good idea, we'll hold on to that for work. But you do have to find that time, don't you? Otherwise, what is there beyond that?
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's part of our journey to Ireland is really a Sabbath for our soul. And it's also become an ongoing opportunity to build friendships and real relationships with people.
Before we get into a bit of Jay's story, I wanted to ask you, Tammy, because you talked about you come from a divided home.
Yes.
How old were you when that happened?
Well, I was one when they separated, and my parents were really young.
Yeah.
Dad, I believe, was 17, mom 18.
Wow, when, okay. Yeah.
They were high school sweethearts, and I was, I guess the old-fashioned phrase is the cart before the horse. They were in love, had dated quite a while, and discovered they were having a baby, and so they got married and merged two different cultures, two different religious backgrounds. One family was is Catholic, one family Nazarene. And as young kids, you know, tried to make things work. But yeah, I was one when they divided. And then I will say I'm very grateful that I grew up knowing both of my parents and all of my extended family had very deep relationships with both sides. And the grandparents all lived in the same little rural town in Colorado. It's called Rocky Ford, Colorado. So when I would go down there, I saw all of the extended family, and there's so much that I'm grateful for. And though my family was divided, I had access to everybody and was able to spend time with them. And so I'm very grateful for that.
And that's really not the case for most kids, is it?
Oh, no. Many times angry parents try to push the other parent away, or they move away, move far away as they can go. In our work with families one-on-one, there's a lot of clients I've walked with that, you know, either parent, neither is more guilty than the other, but hurting parents sometimes make rash decisions that can cost a lifetime of pain to a child. And one of those is, you know, scooping your kids up and moving hours away so that you can be apart from the other adult.
Yeah.
But the hard part of that is then kids, they end up on trains, planes, and automobiles, right, back and forth trying to see those family members. And so I think I'm grateful that everybody I was connected to in my family of origin all lived within about a three-hour radius of each other. And my parents were an hour apart. So I lived with mom full-time and saw dad every other weekend. And
Jay, what about your story? Are you a similar, you got similar background, or what was your childhood
yeah,
like?
Yeah, to a certain degree, you know, I think we, there's not a lot of difference in our ages, about 5 years difference. And so.
And I'm younger, just yeah. for note.
And so, you know, I had an older brother. He came along. He was the cart before the horse. Right. I was the one that came on purpose based on, you know, mom and dad getting married. But same thing. They were both straight out of high school.
Okay.
In fact, they were pregnant with Kevin before they got out of high school. Went ahead and, you know, did what was right and got married and tried to do family. But, you know, one of the challenges there is they were both too young.
Okay.
And so neither one of them had a strong, healthy family. Right. So there was no great family support. Along with that, as is the case quite often, addictions and things can be a part of that.
Sure.
And so when you have, you know, a family legacy that has this brokenness, whether it's alcoholism or something else, you know, and then that just kind of rolls downhill, so to speak, and rolled onto them and onto us, me and my brothers, because, you know, at some point, it just became too much. They were at each other. We were getting caught in the crossfire, and they had to make a change for our sake, as well as their own. And so they did. So I suppose I was about 3 years old when mom and dad split up. And then at age of seven or so, my mother, Gail, who is my stepmom, but she's my mother because she's married to my dad 53 years.
Okay. Yep.
Right. So Gail came into the picture, and she had one of her own. And so they blended a family. And so I grew up in a step family with a stepsister, stepmom, and so on and so forth. Never really felt like that, which is good in some ways. But what was interesting is finding myself in my first master's class for my marriage and family therapy degree, and it was about divorce recovery and so on and so forth. And it was literally in that class at the age of 45 that I went, oh, I'm from a step family.
Wow.
It didn't really sink in. And so as I reflected on that at 45, in the middle of my master's and understanding the psychological, mental, and relational impact mm-hmm. of that revelation, I just realized, why? Why didn't I know that? And where was my biological mom? Mm. And how come they, my parents, couldn't find a way to make sure that me and my brothers stayed connected to her in
right.
some way,
okay.
right? Because that was a huge hole for us mm-hmm. in our lives. This sense of lostness, this sense of not having her and not knowing why. I mean, knowing, yes, mom and dad, you know, didn't go, you know, oil and water, fire
okay.
and gasoline.
Yep.
No,
yep.
We understood that. What we didn't understand is why couldn't we have some sort of connection with her mm-hmm. along the way. And so that's when I started really understanding the importance of again, you know, like Tammy said, to reiterate, we champion lifelong God-centered marriage. That is best case scenario. Mm. We live in a fallen world and we have lots of broken people in it, and they come together and things can get very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the very least. And the ones who feel the fallout from that are the children. And so part of what, you know, God was helping her understand and me to understand is that, you know, in this journey, no matter what moms and dads can't agree on, and there's usually plenty when they've come to that place in their life, the one thing they do agree on is that they love their kids and want the best for them. And so helping them find a way to do that, see, because what I like to call it is the all-American divorce. It happens in a court. Why? Because it's not just a covenant, it's a legal contract.
Okay.
So the legal contract's what's recognized by the government. And so if we're going to split, then we have to go do that in court. Well, what is the court system? It's an adversarial, conflictual space. It's about, I'm your representative, I'm your advocate. Okay, we're going to go in and fight for you. The problem is, if they're making decisions based on what I can get as opposed to what I need, there can be fallout for the children.
Of course.
Right? Yeah. And one of the perfect examples of that is that shared time of parenting. Well, you can get this and you can have, you know, and only every other weekend for mom or dad, you know, and so on and so forth. That's what because that's their job as lawyers. They're your advocate.
Yeah.
We're going to get the very best for you. And if they would understand, and many of them are starting to now and doing it differently, but to understand, no, we're not just untangling this relationship
mm-hmm.
of these two adults. We need to find ways to preserve the family, because on the other side of this divorce, there's still a family. It's just a very complex family. And it's still important. And the most important part of that family is, how are we doing in protecting the hearts of our children with the emotional struggle of fear of rejection and the abandonment that went with all of that, that said, I'm less than.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worth it. I'm not worth staying for. I'm not worth fighting for. And I'm not worth giving up a part of my life. I believe the heart of God is for the caring of those children, to help them not feel the weight of it. And what we find is that, you know, we can help parents with their divorce recovery. But for the kids, healthy divorce recovery is good, healthy, functioning co-parenting. When mom and dad do that well, that's what protects the heart of the child and helps them grow up whole and healthy, despite the fact that they may be going between two homes, that one heart between two homes. Mm-hmm. And that's a critical part of that. So for me, it was just sort of like this revelation and then backtracking it all and going, oh, I guess I wasn't in a step family, and that's
yes.
unusual. And finding my way through that and realizing there's something we can do about this that can turn the tide.
Yeah.
That can change.
You mentioned, Tammy, that you were now a blended family.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And,
or step family. Yeah. Different terms. Yeah.
So, yeah, blended step family. And is that from both of you, or is it just because of where you were at, Tammy, and then Jay, you came into the picture, or were you both from previous marriages? Or
yes, we both had previous marriages. Mine ended in a divorce.
Yeah.
8 years of marriage and several years of counseling, and I'm grateful that the counselor helped us truly build that bridge from marriage into co-parenting.
Sure.
And he was very helpful and supportive in that. I'll never underestimate the power of good counseling. And then Jay was happily married to his high school sweetheart for 21 years and actually lost her in a car accident.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So he became a single father in a different journey and had 3 children. So when we met and married, the kids, my daughter was 9, his son was 12, a daughter 16, and a daughter 21. And mm-hmm. so we've been married now 16 years. I can't do that math, but they're all adults.
they're all
2 are married, and we've got 7 grandkids.
And, congratulations on being grandparents. Here's the thing, though. Was it easy or was it difficult?
Which part?
to blend the families,
so
to bring the siblings together, and to be... that difficult?
Well, one thing I'll say that really blessed my heart, and I didn't realize until we were in the marriage and seeing this in real life, Jay's 3 children were so loving and kind to Aunt Julia, and they just scooped her up and loved on her and treated her like one of their own. And so doesn't always mm-hmm. happen with siblings, but I'm so grateful that Jay had raised his children to be loving people, right? Mm-hmm. And thankfully she really fit in there, and they were wonderful to her. And she still, though she lives farther away than the rest, they're still very close. I mean, but anyway, so yeah, I would say mm-hmm. the 2 things that we discovered that we didn't know until years into all of this was some phrases that we call biofog and step vision. And simply put, in parenting and discipline and how you are raising your household, you know, whether you believe in, I don't know, do the socks go in the hamper or do the socks stay on the floor? You know, those kinds of things, right?
Right.
We discovered, mm-hmm. we didn't know these terms, and we struggled behind closed doors with it back then. But what we say to step couples now is that the parent who is biologically connected to the child or children will often see the offense or the situation with sort of this fog that softens the edges. That's a little more forgiving, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But you know, this child has all these other activities and expectations and homework, and we won't get so upset about that situation. And the step parent who sees it crystal clear and quickly, and they see the offense. They
very objective. Very,
yeah, objective.
Black and white.
Black and white. Mm-hmm. And many a time was I the step vision successor who was upset about something, right? And not seeing it from the more context of the situation. And even recently, I won't say any personal details, but even recently I had an opportunity to express an apology to one of my stepchildren from when they were younger in high school and some of what I might have been a little harsh about.
Okay.
And who knows if that was on their mind or not, but the older I get and the more I look backwards, I realize, I think parents in general, it's really good to go back and create repair moments if mm-hmm. you need to, if the Lord puts that
very
on your
critical.
Heart, to go back and address something that maybe happened 10 years ago, and yet you realize, oh, maybe I need to apologize for that.
It, it teaches the child that actually it's right to apologize. It's right to recognize.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they may not be a child at that stage. You might be a teenager, which is even more important.
Right. Or a full-blown adult.
Yeah.
I for me anyway, I'll say, and I'll hand the mic over to Jay here, but I think we all need grace, right? We need to give grace and we need to ask for grace.
Yes. Okay.
And in step families especially, the competing attachments, and Jay will probably talk about that, that happen between kids and parents and all of that. Sometimes things happen that in the moment, harsh words get said, or someone feels like they've been pushed out of a situation or rejected. And that pain can linger. You know, like Jay was talking about the loss of his mother when he was so young. That lingers underneath the waterline. And sometimes we don't even know it's there. Yeah. And so I always just encourage parents of all shapes and sizes, even in a traditional family, to be open to where can you bring restoration and what modeling can you do for your child?
Yeah, so one of the things I wanted to bring into the conversation that I hadn't mentioned before from personal side was that I'm an ordained minister in the Church of the Nazarenes. The church has a lot to say about family, and that makes sense because that's God's ordained, you know, sort of thing. It just, this marriage idea, this family idea. And you get a bit of a blinder on, right? Especially when you're working in the church, because this is the way we're looking at things. This is the way we're interpreting things. This is the way we understand things.
Yeah.
The problem with that is the number one family type as of 2015, that's over 10 years ago now, is the step family.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's the number one family type.
Wow.
And so what we want pastors to understand and take hold of is this idea that we always talk as pastors, right? This is always the side conversation. Relevance. Ooh, we got to be relevant in our ministry. Oh, we got to present the gospel and offer it in a relevant way that speaks to our culture and to our community. And that's important. And I think that's right. But somehow we've just let that go by. And so we don't talk about the fact that, well, possibly 50% of our congregation has either gone through a divorce or grew up in a family that had been divorced.
Right.
That's a big part of your congregation. And if we aren't speaking to their needs and recognizing that there's a broader spectrum of family types right now, this complexity between, you know, here we are, first time intact family, good. Uh-oh, we have division. Okay, now we have divorce or divided family, mom and dad and two different children. Oh, maybe they remarry. Oh, no, now we've got step families on one side, maybe on the other side, and co-parenting is all happening from the beginning.
And it's important, isn't it?
It is.
In today's reality, it's so important to be able to go, we see you, we recognize you, we understand.
Yeah. Yes, and you're welcome here.
Right. Yeah, and it's so important.
And when you said the, you know, you ask, was it hard?
Yeah.
You know, right? Yes, definitely hard.
Yeah.
Harder than we understood it to be because, you know, we fall in love, we come together, the kids love each other, they're enjoying getting a new little sister, she's enjoying getting, you know, three new big siblings and all that sort of thing. And so all of that's wonderful, and we're living in the emotion of it, which is good.
Yep.
But there were practical things, family dynamics, that we didn't know of, and that's what she started to talk about, that we've learned along the way. And probably the biggest challenge I see for people who remarry is they come in with the idea that, okay, so now we're remarrying and we'll be a family again like we were, but it's not the same. A first-time intact family and, you know, a step family have a lot of things in common, more in common than they don't, but the things that they don't have in common are really important because those emotional and relational dynamics are critical to the health of that family making its way through those first 6 or 7 years to really establish themselves. If you have a step family, it takes about 7 years to fully blend, starting with mom and dad.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all, but we've been wired to do that. God created us to do that. Well, then you have a baby, right? Mm-hmm. And the first time you hold that child, see that child, imagine that child even, you are flooded with that oxytocin again in all of those special hormones that bond you to that child. So the child comes out and now you have a bio attachment.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's so deep so deeply rooted that there's not much in the world that can shake it. All right. So imagine, though, we come into a home where we are developing our attachment.
Yeah.
Right. Tammy and I, we've fallen in love. We've become a couple. The kids are excited. All things are going, and it's moving that direction. And now we're all under the same roof. Mm-hmm. Okay. But what we don't recognize is this developing attachment is being stressed by the bio attachments. Right. Because I have bio kids.
Yes, of course.
She is a bio kid.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then I have a developing attachment with her daughter, who is my stepdaughter.
Yeah.
And she has a developing. So you see, we have developing attachments and we have rock solid bio attachments. And those things are what we call competing attachments, because at times when Jaron didn't pick up his socks for the 15th time that week, not even that month, that week, right? And step vision kicks in and mom's like,
yep.
Why are there socks here? 2 feet away is a hamper. Yeah. Why are socks here, right? And all she can see is the socks and that it shouldn't be that way. And then there's dad. Now here's biofog, right? Subjective. Contextual, that's a really good word, right? It's about the context, right? And so I see this little boy, not the 17-year-old young man. I see the little boy because we have history in bio attachment. And so now I'm contextualizing. Well, honey, he's in show choir and it's show choir season. And so not only does he go to school all day, but then there's 3.5 hours of that show choir work. And then he comes home and does another couple hours of homework. Yeah. And he's just so tired and he probably doesn't mean it. You know, he's not trying to be rude. He's just exhausted. You know, I'll pick him up.
Yeah.
Right? Boom. Now what? Now we're in competition with each other, frustrated because she's like, well, you know, you're undermining me. No, I'm not undermining. You know, so that's just a little snapshot of what we want folks to understand. When you remarry, those emotional relational dynamics are there and they're very, very strong. Mm-hmm. And if we don't recognize them, when we pretend, we're just the same as we were before when we were married to another person. Yeah. You're not.
Yeah.
You are and you aren't. And if you don't, then the sleeping dragons will rush out of their lair and scorch your earth in a moment. And you'll all be standing there smelling of sulfur and embers wondering, what just happened, Lord? Because I'm not sure what took place here. Think of an elephant with painted toenails, because I want you all to remember this, okay? And this is why she was talking about, you know, the scenario of a young lady.
Yeah.
New stepmom. She actually kind of likes her. She takes her out to get her nails done.
Yeah.
Transitions back to her bio mom's house. And the little girl has these nails, and she's very excited about it. And she goes to mom. She says, look, I got my nails done. What do you think? Mm. And mom looks at the nail and says, what in the world, girl? Those colors are a mess and it's ridiculous. Why would anybody pick those colors? Not realizing that her daughter picked the colors, not her stepmom.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
This is the insidious part of carrying hurt and hate and brokenness. Mm-hmm. And not filtering it out in our expression to our children about this new space. Mm. She just blasted her daughter's heart. And if she'd known, I'd like to think she never would have said something like that, but she didn't know. Yeah. And she'll never know because the daughter carries that alone.
Yeah. Co-parenting is what you're talking about. That's what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Now, tell us quickly a little bit about where people can get more resources or how they can find out more about what you're doing.
Sure.
Because they can, you know, if people are co-parenting right now, where can they go to find out more from you guys?
Yeah, well, you can come to our website. It's coparentinginternational.com.
Okay.
So it's just coparentinginternational.com. And there is a blue button on the website. Not on the homepage, but you'll get to it if you want to contact us. where you can click through if you're a parent or if you're a professional.
Okay.
And it'll just ask you different things you're interested in, and we'll send you some free handouts, some free information. We've also got a video curriculum called One Heart, Two Homes, co-parenting, co-parenting children of divorce to a positive future. And it's a 10-module video course that Jay and I produced, and we've got 31 other guests and experts that talk about co-parenting, and from everything from how you handle the handoffs to how you show up at birthday parties and school functions and about dating. And we dig into some tough topics like, what if I've left someone who wasn't safe and there was abuse or addiction or abandonment? So it's a very thorough video series. And we love for listeners to go through that. And actually this year in 2026, we are doing an evaluation of that. And so they can go through it actually with a fully reimbursable process where they ultimately get to do it for free. So there's, anyway, that's all on the website. And then we also do workshops and trainings for parents and professionals. If you're a professional listening, maybe you're a counselor, a social worker. I'm not sure what the right phrases are in Ireland.
That's good.
Yeah. But we've got some professional trainings we do, and they offer CE credits about the complex family, about single parenting and co-parenting, and then we have a whole other training on the stepfamily marriage. So all of those things are on our website. You can access and ask for more information. But it's, you know, with the day of today's technology, you know, some of the except for the time zone and the 6-hour difference, people can join us for our online trainings that we have. And we're also, we've been asked recently by a lot of different businesses and large corporations to do lunch and learn webinars.
Okay.
So people have had us on to talk about how you deal with a hard breakup, or how do you go through a divorce and you have children. I've done a few of those, just even a 30 to 45 minute workshop virtually for companies. So if anybody's interested in connecting with us, whether it's for you personally or for your organization, again, just come to the website. There's an option for professionals or for parents, and we can be in touch that way, and we'd absolutely love that.
Co-parentinginternational.com.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Jay.
I want to make this brief, but if I could, I'd love to speak to the church for a moment. Having been a pastor and been in that space for 20 plus years, I just want the church to understand that a big part of relevance is recognizing who's in your community, not who's in your pews.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. That's important. If you've ever read Rick Warren's things, one of the things he has is these concentric circles as he starts to explain what it looks like to be part of the community, part of the crowd, part of, you know, moving towards the core. And one of the interesting phrases that comes from that is when they're on the outside, it's that church, right? And then they become part of the crowd and it becomes this church. And then they become part of the congregation, and now it's our church.
Yep.
And eventually move into the core where it becomes my church. They're vested in that. And my challenge for churches out there today is to recognize we live in a culture and time of complex family. We are doing a disservice to the communities we're called to serve if we're not finding ways to reach these various complex families. And what a beautiful vision it would be to start to become the church in your community that people point at, and they go, that church? What do you mean, that church? Well, that church talks to single parents. That church supports single parents. That church understands remarriage and stepfamily. That church is here for us in our hard times, in our broken times, in our happy times as well. They're here supporting us, and to become that church eventually means it becomes this church, because they show up and they go, really? Do they do that? And then it becomes their church, because they recognize, well, yeah, they do. And then they really take to heart, and it becomes my church, because they recognize that they want to give back and reach out and draw others in. And so That's our vision, is to see churches grab hold of this and to start bringing healing into a very painful place, and to protect the hearts of children so that they can grow up whole and healthy and experience what God has always wanted for them, which is healthy, lifelong marriage.
Mm. Well, in the church that we met at, Robbie, there's such a simple thing every church in the world could do, and I wish every church would do this. They had once a month what they called a double lunch, and there was a Sunday school class that had a lot of married couples in it, and they would bring a double lunch, meaning food for them, food for others, and set up in the gymnasium and allow the single parents to join them.
Hello?
With the single parents and their children just for lunch, right?
And we didn't have to cook.
And the single parents didn't have to cook, even though some of them know how, like Mr. Wonderful here.
Yeah.
But it was a simple but meaningful gesture to help the single parents in that church feel seen and supported.
Yep.
And once in a while, they'd have a speaker at those lunches, and sometimes it was just fellowship. And the day that, actually, this is literally how Jay and I met, I was asked, I was starting the practicum part of my counseling and getting that master's in marriage and family, and I was starting to work in their counseling center at the church, and a professor invited me. She said, and I was a single mom, you know, at the time. She said, Tammy, why don't you come to our single parent lunch and give out your business cards? Because then they'll know that they can come to you for counseling. And what I heard her say was that there were 15 single moms and kids that they do a double lunch once a month. And I said, oh, that sounds great, you know.
And
I brought my daughter. And
single dad.
And I truly thought I was coming only to speak to women. And it turned out it was for single parents. And yes, this really cute, handsome gentleman was at my table. And God, you know, I think God was just waiting, like kind of like surprise at Christmas, you know, to give us that moment to meet. But when I think about that, and they did that for years, and all it took was this gal, this Professor Joy, she would organize and remind parents, you know, the Sunday school class, hey, I think it was like the second or third Saturday, third Sunday.
So it's right after service.
It was the third Sunday. Mm-hmm. And they just bring their casseroles and all their dishes, and we would gather in the gym and fellowship. Mm-hmm. And that meant so much to all of those parents. And it doesn't have to be a, you know, a costly, complicated thing.
It's such a simple idea.
But just a double lunch and invite the single parents of your community. And, you know, some of them might come for lunch before they'll even come to church, right?
Yeah.
But invite them in.
Right.
Invite them in and feed them lunch once a month. And I think that's a beautiful way to let them know they're welcome. Because I think, you know, and this is a whole nother topic we won't go into, but I do know single parents quite often struggle with their faith when they've gone through a divorce.
Right.
And they may feel either that they will never be forgiven and that God is angry at them, or they may be very angry at God for not saving their marriage. And so they wrestle through, what does faith look like on the other side? And something as simple as a loving, open arm, welcoming community to just come bring your kids and have lunch, that's a beautiful bridge that you can welcome them in and help them know that the God who made you and who made your kids, he may hate divorce, but he loves you, his child.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He loves you. And for those parents to know, even if they're the one who caused the divorce, who left, or who had the affair, or who was the alcoholic, Jesus still loves you.
Yeah.
And he has a plan. And when we reach those parents, then we reach their kids.
Yes.
And if we lose those parents, then we lose their kids. So, sorry. I echo Jay's plea to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the truth of it, Jenna. We serve a loving God whose grace and redemption and restoration, none of us are beyond it.
No.
And sometimes I think the church forgets to share that with a community that's out there broken. And I'm encouraging our churches to recognize there are broken people around you all the time, and be the hands and feet and the voice of God to them, and offer them that cool water, so to speak. to refresh them.
And I can echo one last fast story. Is a dear friend of ours, Bruce Koblish, was raised, unfortunately, he was raised in a single parent house. His father walked away when he and his brothers were all under the age of 12. His mom never remarried, but she raised those boys in church, and the men in that church would come and take all five of those boys hunting and fishing, and and taught them how to whittle and use a pocket knife and ride around in their pickup trucks and be out in the outdoors. And I've heard Bruce's testimony on this so many times. And he said, and this was, I mean, Bruce's, well, we won't say how old Bruce is. He's possibly old enough to be my dad. I don't know. He's like an older brother. But years ago, right, decades back, his mom could have been rejected by her little rural church.
Right.
When this divorce happened. But that little rural church not only wrapped their arms around them, they helped build a home for them. And and the men in that church saw five little boys without a dad. And they stepped in.
Yeah.
And they didn't push away. They stepped in. Mm-hmm. And so it's a beautiful thing. And all five of his brother, he and his brothers have all...
They all ended up in ministry.
Ended up in ministry. Wow. and wonderful lives and changing the world. And, you know, and so sometimes we see the sin. But I say, let's see the long view, right? The next generation, these little people, they need to know that God loves them and that God still loves their family.
Hmm. Bruce went on to serve the Lord in so many ways, just like his brother, and actually became president of GMA.
Yeah, you've probably met him, actually.
I've probably met him along the way.
Yeah.
Guys, it's been wonderful, insightful, touching, and God-led. It's been great to have you in here, and it's great to hear what God has done with your families so that you can help other families. And it is important for our listeners to understand that actually you might be on a journey like this. You might be at the beginning of it. You might be right way down the road in this. But there's, I'm not even going to say there's help, because that sounds a bit weird, but there's a place you can go to find out more information about how you can get through this situation.
Yes.
And it's coparentinginternational.org is the website. And I know that if you go there, Jay and Tammy, all their resources will be there. That what they can do better on their website is better than what I can tell you, other than the address, okay? coparentinginternational.org.
.com.
My apologies. .com. Coparentinginternational.com. So please check that out. And I do hope that our chat today has been helpful to you. Tammy, Jay, thank you for coming into our studios here in Dublin.
It's such a joy.
Little did we know that when we met in Nashville, we'd be here in Dublin about 8 weeks later.
It's wonderful.
It's been great to see you. And God bless you in what you do and how He has blended you to serve others. God bless you both.
Thank you
for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Take us with you wherever you go. UCB Ireland.